All right, what do I press to record?
It is recording.
Okay,
now.
Hey, which introduction did we want to do, Velix?
I think we should save the pretend thing for like later on, because we are still kind of early in the roast, and we can save that for a bit later.
Okay, fair enough. Wait till you've learned your way around the Rogue's Den, so to speak.
Yeah, once I've memorized where everything is and all the buttons and shit.
Gotcha. All right, cool. We'll do that then.
All right.
Are you a captain yet?
I am. I'm now captain. I was captain like a couple days after we finished recording the last episode.
Okay, well, cool. All right. All right, so the way we're going to do this then is, because, you know, I didn't go through and put our names yet. So why don't you start with retarded Professor Chanao, and then I'll take Sage Lord. You take. Wait, hold on. No, I want the easy ones. I'm gonna take Troll Fugitive. Yeah, because Troll Fugitive is just killing stuff. And I'm gonna take Extermination. I guess I can do the Escort Professor Chanao.
Well, it's not like it's complicated. Just, you know, try to live, keep him alive.
Yeah.
Attempt not to die.
All right, and I mean, you know, we'll both talk about it, but that's the way we'll bring him in and whatnot. Yeah. All
right. That's your recording level. It shouldn't be hitting the red.
Okay.
So.
What, if it's hitting the red, what does that mean?
That you're talking too loud and that you're probably going to end up maxing it out. Like, here, you see how, yeah that's okay. Way too loud.
All right, no problem. I'm just going to test how loud I have to talk. All right, it starts cracking if I'm too loud then.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So just be aware of that and try to avoid it. If it happens, go back, recut.
Yep, no problem. Cool.
All right, cool. Holler if you need anything.
Okay, see you later, Dad. All right. So, we'll get ourselves 10 seconds of silence here and then start. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another installation of the ever-popular Rogue's Den. As usual, I am Kahlo, and here with me is my lovely assistant, Velix. Velix, why don't you say hello?
Hello, everybody. I am back yet again.
Yes, he is back yet again. And today, you know what? I want to start off with a little bit of a story. First of all, you know, I've gotten some, not necessarily complaints, but, you know, some opinions, some comments that were a little tight here, Velix. You know, it doesn't seem very relaxed. You know, we're right to the point. We're all about business, you know.
Yes.
And originally, you know, that was the intent behind the Rogue's Den, but at the same time, you know, I want us to seem relaxed. I want us to seem tight. You know, rogues are, you know, thieves. We're nice and fluid and whatnot. So I'm gonna start today off with a little story. You see, thieves in Final Fantasy XI, we have this unique, very desirable ability, a job trait, called Treasure Hunter. Now, Treasure Hunter is, it's a lot different from any other job traits that are out there, you know, like double attack, or, you know, max HP bonus, things that when they happen, you know, it's a good thing, and if they don't happen, it's not that big a deal. But as a thief, see, we have to deal with certain things, you know. If we're fighting Kieran, for example, and 3 Earth Crystals drop, whose fault is it? It's
the thief,
right? Yeah, everyone yells at the thief. Ooh, boo, you're a thief. Even if, say, you know, Velix on his samurai delivered the final blow. LOL, thief, your TH sucks, it's broken, right? But now, let's say Velix were to have gotten the, you know, the final blow. Let's say he's sub-thief. And, you know, we get 2 W legs and all the money drops. Then what's going to happen? What do you think the LS is going to say? Well, first of all, Velix, if that happened in your situation, what would be the first thing you said?
More fast pants. But after that, it would probably be, you know, oh, you know, my awesome sub-deep treasure hunter got it for us.
Exactly. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Something bad happens, we blame the thief. Something good happens, oh, yay for samurais? No. I'm gonna explain something to you guys right now, okay? Treasure hunter works a little differently than most job traits. See, I have since dubbed my own treasure hunter THK. Now, what that means is treasure hunter Kahlo. Okay, I want to show you something. I want you to think about this. Okay, lately, the drops that I've been needing have been as follow: my Homam Gambiras, which I just recently got. I was up for them, as well as another thief buddy of mine, Ilias. And so before I went in, I told him, you know what, Ilias? I'm going to get us two home amphete this run. Two Omega's Tails. That's what's dropping. Guess what dropped, ladies and gentlemen? Velix, you want to take a guess?
I'm going to guess with the two tails and maybe like a body.
Two tails and maybe a body. That is exactly right. Now let's go back a couple more weeks. Just a couple more. When me and my friend Muriel were both fighting one of the ZNMs, Dia, who dropped some very desirable gear, namely, which we were both after, the Enkidos Subligar. We did Muriel's first, and unfortunately, his didn't drop. This made him 0 for quite a few. Then we did mine, my first time fighting Dia, and guess what dropped?
It's going to have to be the pink Subligar again.
The Enkidos Subligar did drop. Now let's go back just once more, just a few more weeks prior to this, when I went up against my good friend Experimental Lami, which was a horrible nightmare. But in the end, the first time I'd fought her, do you want to guess what dropped?
Enkidos leggings, perhaps?
Enkidos leggings. You're a smart guy, Felix. For someone whose career is being slapped in the face with, you know, giant spiked tails and whatnot, you're a pretty smart guy. But yeah, Enkidos leggings. That's one for one for one for one, and then for two, because, you know, Omega dropped two of them. But the point is, when I want drops, when I will my THK to work, they drop. And now you're thinking, well, Kylo, how come you don't make things drop for your friends then? Why don't you make your THK work all the time? And the answer's simple. Okay, it's not so simple. It's a little bit complicated, really. But see, friends make fun of me. And it's all in good fun. No big deal, you know. But it is a big deal, people. It is. If you want me to work for you, you gotta work for me first, you know? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'm not gonna scratch your back first because, being a thief, I have trust issues. So, you know, you gotta scratch my back first. Show me a little love, and I'll show you a couple drops. That's how it works. I mean, that's not too unreasonable, is it, Velix?
No, that's pretty reasonable.
That's pretty reasonable. See, now, if Velix was on Odin, you know what would have happened? I would have got him the three Asgard bodies. Yeah, that's right. Velix, why don't you tell him the story of what happened today in Nizel Isle Investigation?
We were doing our Nizel run today. We do four tag Nizel every Friday. And today was specifically, we were going in there to get my Asgard body from floor 80 because I'm the only person who currently has bodies as a main lot. We did three runs of it. We went 0 for 3. We didn't get any Asgard bodies. We didn't get any drops at all. And then we went and we did a feat run, and we got the Goliard feat for the guy who joined at the same time as me and now has 5 more drops than I do.
Yeah, that's too bad. Do you have a thief in your Nizel static party?
Yes. Generally, his Treasure Hunter is pretty reliable, but it just kind of fluttered out this time.
What's his name?
Birdman, one and only.
Birdman, one and only. And you've been pretty nice to Birdman lately?
Yeah, I don't make fun of him too bad.
Too
he's a
bad.
Tar,
oh.
So
oh,
I punt him every now and then.
Oh, I see. Birdman, I feel your pain. And I know why Asgard didn't drop tonight. And you know why it didn't drop tonight. And I know that you know that I know why it didn't drop tonight. And we're just going to keep that little secret because that helps Felix sleep a little bit better at night.
Yep.
So with all that behind us, we're actually going to move on to Assaults, the thing that you guys came for. And unfortunately, before we start off with what you're all waiting for, which is Superior Private today, Velix actually forgot some very important details during our last show when we covered Private First Class. So really quick, he's going to go ahead and go over what the average assault point rewards are for each of the areas for Private First Class rank. Velix, why don't you go ahead and do that for us?
Okay. Once Wiki decides to work.
Oh, I think what he means is when he finally gets around to it. So maybe I could go, since I'm ready. I'm prepared, Velix.
Oh, okay? I'm sure you are.
Now, I mean, you can use the excuse that, yes, I blindfold you and whack you over the head a couple times before dragging you to the Rogue's Den so you don't know what it is. But some people would call that an excuse. So once the wiki loads right here, I'm going to tell everybody what the average assault point rewards are for each zone. Any second now. It's loading up.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it is. Maybe you could use your THK okay. to find a web page. Okay,
so if anyone remembers Oraculum Survey in the Liaojum Sanctum, depending... Welcome. Whoops. Kind of spiked there a little bit.
Yep.
If anyone remembers the Oraculum Survey, which takes place in the Liaojum Sanctum, depending on your party setup, your average points are going to be about 1,200. For Preemptive Strike, which takes place in the Mamuljha Training Ground, one of my favorite, you're going to get about 1,000. Libros Supplies in Libros Caverns, 1,200. Requiem from Periquia, 1,000. And Lamia number 13 from Ilaruzi Atoll is going to net you about 1,200. So again, we are sorry for leaving that on the last episode. I got on Velik's cases for that, and it's not going to happen again, I can assure you. Otherwise, we might have to invest in a new guest. And let me tell you, Velik, they are lining up at the door.
It'd probably be a lot easier to carry them in here, too.
Yeah, none of them are Gulkas. In fact, the line really doesn't matter. I keep on having to turn them away. But I already have a backup planned if you get on my nerves too much. I already got someone that I'm going to bring in who has way better qualifications than you do, if you catch my drift.
Uh-huh. I think I get it.
Okay, just blanked out. Where are we going from here? Oh, that's right. All right.
Assaults. Okay.
No, okay, kidding. Annie, cut out the qualifications part when you get to that, Annie. I didn't know where I was going with that. And I want the Teela on the Rogues Den to be a surprise. So yeah, just cut that out. Okay, so where were we prior to that?
We're talking about assault points and how we're not going to let that happen again. And right now, I guess from there, we're going to move on to ranking.
Okay, so we forgot in the last episode, Velik has been reprimanded. Worry not. I hit him a couple extra times in the head before bringing him to the Rogues Den. He didn't know because he was unconscious already. So now we are going to move on to what you came here for today, and that is Superior Private. And the first thing that we have to cover is how do you rank up from Private First Class to Superior Private? And Velik is going to tell us how to do that.
Yep. Basically, you're going to be keeping track of your mercenary rank points. Once you hit 25 again, it's time to go back. Just going to talk to Nadja. She'll give you a nice little cutscene and basically explain what you need to be looking for. What you're looking for is the infamous Warhorse Hoofprint. You've probably seen people shouting for this umpteen millions of times, looking for this thing. It can spawn in any number of zones from Wajum Woodlands, Bathlow Thickets, Mount Zalom, or Kadur of Mire, all over the maps. Some of them a little bit harder to get to, others not so much. There's a lot of different speculation as to how it moves around. Some people seem to say that once, you know, the moon phase changes in the right time, then the Warhorse Hoofprint will change. But unless you're looking for, you know, but unless you're who's already seen that day, you probably don't have to worry because running around a lot.
Look, hold on, Velik. Once you cut in and out a little bit. I think we might have just had some lag on the line. So go ahead and
do.
What's that? Was I cutting in and out too?
Yeah, like a little bit earlier.
Okay, let's just give it a sec. Uh-oh, I think I know why. It looks like his AVG is trying to run some scans on us.
Ah, he's watching us.
Yeah, he set up his AVG to spy on us. Way to go, Nero.
Tricky.
Emote uninstalls your AVG. Gonna get you hacked. All right, well, go ahead and try starting that back up again then.
Okay. Basically, we're here, and you're going to rank up from your private first class, and we're going up to superior private. Mercenary rank points.
Hold on, you're doing it. You're doing it again.
Get going again.
Yeah. Do you have any programs running in the background?
No, I'm looking. I got my little thing, and it doesn't really tell. I'm not using up too much memory or RAM or anything.
Logged out a game?
Yeah, I definitely logged out a game. I made sure to do that.
Hmm.
Let's see if there's anything going control alt delete. Bring up my task manager. Nope, that's looking good.
All right, well, go ahead and try starting it one more time.
All right, third time's a charm, I guess. For your rank up, we're going from private first class to superior private this time. You're going to obtain your 25 mercenary rank points like we discussed last time. From there, you're going to go talk to Nadja. She'll give you a cutscene, and then you are going to start looking for the infamous Warhorse Hoofprint. You've probably seen people shouting in Whitegate for this umpteen millions of times. It can spawn all over the place, anywhere from Wajoma Woodlands, Baffalo Thickets, Mount Zalem, or Kedurv Mire, and each zone has upwards of 10 different possible spawn locations, some less, some more. After you find this whole list on the wiki, because it would just be too much information to try to give you all at once, and it would be just best to go into there. After you manage to hunt down your Warhorse Hoofprint, either by asking around and finding it, or just going out and looking yourself, you just check it, you get the key item, go back to Nadja, and then you can rank up to superior private. That's all that needs.
And yep, that's all there is to it. So depending on your luck, it could be easier, it could be harder than the last couple, but it's definitely not the most difficult. So then, moving right into the assaults. As usual, we are going to start with that place that I have trouble pronouncing, Liaudrum Sanctum. Look at that, I did it right the first time. And for this rank, it's called Escort Professor Chanao. Think that's how you pronounce it, Velix?
Oh, probably. You could probably make a case for Chanix, too, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get emails. Good luck finding out where to post those, though, because Rogue's Den doesn't have corrections. So the description is, a long-haired Merid has been found frozen in the eternal ice of Liaudrum Sanctum. Escort the professor to the site of discovery. So basically what this mission is escorting this guy. You don't get to control him. He's basically going to run around till he gets to the end, and you have to protect him. There are all kinds of mobs in there. I lied. There's actually only two. There's Frozen Bones, which are skeletons, and there are Gelid Boots, which don't go on your feet. Those are actually ghosts. Now, they are all susceptible to Lullaby, Gravity, and Repose, and the ghosts are also susceptible to sleep. So there are a couple different strategies that that can be used here. I've heard of it a lot of different ways. I've actually only done this once. So, you know, you get a little bit from me, and you'll get a little bit from Velix. But a couple of the things that they recommend is, and this isn't what we tried, but running through and just sleeping everything. Have you tried that before, Velix? How does that work out?
We tried it, and then we realized shortly thereafter that everything was waking up and coming to devour us, and that didn't work too well, so we died that time, scrapped that plan, and moved on.
Right. Now, it says that gravity is very handy for losing aggro, so if you get far enough ahead of certain monsters, so if they can be slept long enough, it's a great strategy to use, but Red Mage is a pretty ideal job to come with. You know, they have gravity, they have bind, they have sleep, you know. So, you know, make it a Red Mage job as the professor's running around to, you know, basically keep the crowd control up as best they can. You know, maybe if you have a thief for accomplicing or a collaborator, you can try to keep that off. But basically, the point of this mission is to keep him alive. Now, when we did it, I know quite a few of us died. I'm pretty sure it was a full party. And we tried to, you know, just kind of kill things as we went. We tried to kill some of, you know, tried to sleep some of them. So it was sort of a half and half strategy there, and it ended up working. We won. I think three people died. I almost did, but you know, the flee, the hide,
the thievery.
Right. I was gonna say running away, but I like that better. The thievery part that I'm really good at. Velix, so how did you beat this one?
We basically did a similar strategy to you. We just had a basic balance group tank. Bunch of DDs, mages. The mages would run ahead and try to sleep, and then the melees would just run behind to kill them all so that when they woke up, they wouldn't go and eat the mages. We did kind of get overwhelmed, and we ended up with an almost full party wipe. I remember right at the end, before we got to the final point where the professor's attempting to go, there was two boots in the way, and I was the only one really left standing that wasn't weakened, so I had to death pull those out of the way because we had no option, but we managed to win barely.
Yep. So a couple more notes to consider is that the professor wanders around the dungeon ignoring all aggro. As we said, there's no way to control him, but he does show up on wide scan. So if someone has wide scan and you lost the professor, you can't find him again. He can also be cured, but he cannot be given any buffs. Actually, the wiki says they're not sure about that. There is one testimonial about being able to cast Protect and Shell on him. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt to try. He has enough HP to withstand a few hits, but don't let him get overswarmed, obviously. He's just a scientist. You can sneak yourself, which this prevents the undead from detecting you, which leads to another strategy, all right, which the wiki states is this being the best working strategy. Anyone who can, summon a free carbuncle. The undead will not aggro you if you have sneak up and full HP, but they will aggro Carbuncle if you have him out. Now, as long as you keep running ahead of the professor as much as you can, let Carby train everything for the win. Now, if Carbuncle dies, you resummon him in a safe area, check sneak, and then just repeat it all over again. Now, because of how summoners work, Carbuncle will not stop to fight back unless his summoner is threatened. So the only way this will happen is if the summoner loses sneak or blood aggroes, and of course Carbuncle does not pass on hate to the summoner if he dies. Jug pets also work for this, but there is the five minute recast timer on Call B, so it makes them a little bit less effective. Presumably, and I would assume as well, that perhaps Dragoon and Puppet Master pets can also get aggro this way, but of course a lot less desirable since they have the 20 minute recast timer on their pets. So, Velix, do you have anything else to add to that?
I would imagine that with the Dragoon and Puppet Master, you wouldn't want to use it as a main strategy like going with your full party of Puppet Masters or full party of Dragoons. You could probably do it, but it would be better if they were there in the event of an emergency that you needed to pull some bombs out of the way. Then you can sacrifice and use your once every 20 minutes kind of deal.
Yep, there you go. Now, if you finish this with three members, you're going to get 1,100, 990 with four, 880 with five, and 770 with six members. Now, some loot to be on the lookout for from the appraisable item is the Storm Mantle, which I'm guessing this is a pretty good tanking mantle. I'd never do anything with it. But level 50, all jobs, HP plus 30, and when in assault, HP plus 70. So pretty good assault tanking piece there for an HP setup, I suppose.
Yeah, it's going to be the most HP you can get on a back piece while in assaults, at least presumably. I never figured out if the HP on the piece stacks with the HP while in assault, giving you plus 105. I had arguments with people about that, and we never figured it out. So if anybody knows this for sure...
Velix would be interested in knowing. Go ahead and take us into the next one, Velix.
Yeah. That would be it for Escort Professor Chenoy, Chenix, meh.
Chexmix.
From there,
Professor Chexmix.
Professor Chexmix, that's him. From there, we're moving on to Sage Lord Elimination. Basically, there is one of the big bad Malul Jaw type Mamuls. He is visiting the training grounds, which you went to earlier, to oversee the progress of the soldiers. His eliminations would sow chaos and confusion within the Mamul Jaw ranks. There are many mobs in this assault. They're just basic Mamuls, Beast Ninjas, and Blue Mages.
No, Sage hold Lord. On, Velix. You're doing the laggy thing again. Your connection sucks.
It's okay. It's weird. I'm kind of surprised it's lagging.
All right, just give it a couple minutes.
People are probably downloading too much porn.
That very well could be it. All right, go ahead and start that up again.
From the beginning?
Yep.
All right. Okay, from there, we're moving on to Sage Lord Elimination at the Mamul Jaw staging point. Basically, one of the big baddies, Sage Lord Malul Jaw, is visiting the training grounds to oversee the progress of his soldiers. Eliminate him, and that will cause some pretty big chaos in the Mamul Jaw's ranks. You go in there, and there's going to be mobs all over the...
You just lagged out again.
Trainers that are Beastmasters, Ninjas, and Blue
Felix,
Mage.
You lagged
and
out
then
again. For
there
like...
is the big baddie himself,
Felix,
Sage
Felix,
Lord
Felix,
Malul
Jaw. Felix.
That was fun.
Yeah, you lagged out.
Yeah.
Well, this is a fun one.
Oh, this will take a while.
All right, well, whenever you are ready, go ahead and start that back up.
Okay. From there, we're going to move on to Sage Lord Elimination, which is taking place in the Mamoja staging point. Your basic goal here is to go in and eliminate the big baddie, Sage Lord Mololja. He's there visiting, checking on the troops, and you're just going to have to take him out and hopefully screw up their ranks a bit. There are three different types of Mamools, four different types of Mamools in there. Three of them are going to be called just Mamoja trainers. They're Beastmasters, Ninjas, and Blue Mages. You can probably tell by the weapons and how they act. And then the big baddie himself, Sage Lord Mololja, who is one of the blue mage type Mamools. You're basic, simple enough, you got to defeat him. However, he has a little bit of a trick. Yeah, every time you do about 10 to 20% damage to him, he's just going to like bolt. He's taken for the hills. He's gone.
He pulls a Kahlo, guys.
Yeah, he goes faster than like you've ever seen anything move. And
almost. I'm pretty quick.
Yeah.
I've got like a +7 initiative modifier, guys, so watch out.
Anyways, after he basically flees away, you pretty much have nothing left to do but wait for him to come back. There's one slight problem with that is he's going to link everything that he kind of runs near, and then he's going to come back with average about 10 different Mamools each time he comes back. There's a couple ways you can handle it. You can just go around and kind of kill off the little Mamools like before he runs away so that he doesn't grab them up. That's okay, I guess, but you're going to run into time constraints because even if you kill them off, him running away at like light speed every 10 to 20% you have to wait is going to take up a lot of time. The best way, well, the way that we did it was basically when he ran off and he came back, all of the mobs were on your tank, so that was me in this case, and I basically ran like hell with every Mamool in the area on me while they killed him.
Okay. That sounds like an interesting strategy.
I just kited for the life of me and it worked. Now the wiki does note that stun can stop him running, and then like once it wears off he's gonna start running again. It's not really reliable to like, you can maybe stun him for that half second, get off your weapon skills or whatever, or DOT him or something, and then just let him run off. But you're just good enough letting him run off. You can save the MP for when he comes back.
Right. Yep. Now I remember doing this one myself. It was we tried sleeping all the mob. Now we ended up winning, but similar to when we did the escort Professor Chex mix, there was a couple casualties, but we did end up winning. Definitely the sleeping everything strategy. There's a very, very good chance that you're going to start to get overwhelmed because most of the trainees can hit well-equipped DDs for about 100 damage per hit. Now, the Sage Lord, being a mage, doesn't hit too hard. So you don't got to worry about too much about that. But, avoid aggroing as many trainees as possible. And, when he runs away, just wait for him to come back. Sleep the adds and just knock them off one at a time. Beyond that, it's one of those things where you just kind of got to get a feel for it, if there's not too many adds and you think you can just sleep them and finish off the Sage Lord, go for it, use your best judgment. But in most cases, as long as you're not being overwhelmed, but in most cases, if you're being overwhelmed, you're probably going to want to start picking off the adds one at a time.
Yeah, I would think that even if you're not really being overwhelmed, like maybe he brought back 3 or 4 on his first run through, you can, and you have multiple DDs, you can put a few of your DDs on Sage Lord and try to take him down a bit slower and send a few more onto the others because he's just going to bring more back in 10 to 20% when he bolts off again. So you might as well try to keep some constant hate control instead of just getting to the point where you're overwhelmed and then you have to do something. It's kind of best to prepare up to that point.
Now, once you do finally complete this, you're going to get 1,200 assault points for 3 members, 1080 for 4 members, 960 for 5 members, and 840 for 6 members. And are there any good drops from the appraisable items here, Velix?
There's one notable one, which is the Storm Zarketo, I believe that is pronounced. Defense 15, accuracy plus 4, magic accuracy plus 2. On its own, not that great, but I mean, if you have, like, for example, a level 50-ish blue mage, that's a great piece for that because you got your accuracy and your magic accuracy on there. So it's definitely not great for everybody, but it's good for some.
All right, well, good. Next up on our list then is Libros Caverns, where we're going to take on a mission called Troll Fugitives. Now, the objective is to destroy the Troll Fugitives. It says the remnants of a troll army that clashed with Imperial forces has taken refuge within Libros Cavern. Hunt down the fugitives and prevent them from regrouping. Now, this is a pretty easy one. This is just the, you know, kill and exterminate everything in the zone and you win type thing. So, again, it's another one of my favorite ones just because it is not necessarily easy. I mean it's easy. But that's not the reason it's my favorite. Well, okay, it's one of the reasons it's my favorite. But, just like Preemptive Strike, you get a little bit of limit points when you do it too, and there's nothing too complicated. It's really hard to screw it up. So if you have a Dark Knight friend that needs assault, you know, I guess you can bring him along too. Now we just have to wait for my thing to load.
Oh, that was... I think I got lag spiked on my end. Okay, at least it went there.
I wonder if the lag's coming from me, because like we've never had any sort of issues like this prior, have we? Because this is the first time
on my...
Oh, wait, yeah, we're kind of both on different ones, aren't we?
Yeah.
As long as
it ends up well.
Oh, well, yeah, you're doing it bad. I'm at Annie's house right now, so...
Yeah, it's got to be me.
Nah.
Oh, my internet connection.
Oh, I just crit you, dude. I just rolled a 19 on the d20, and I used daggers, so you just got critted. Okay.
It's okay. I'm fine.
All right, so... Troll Fugitives. There are going to be 4 types of trolls in here. Now, they're all called Broken Troll Soldiers, and they range anywhere from T to VT if you are 75 and uncapped. And they are Paladins, Red Mage, Monks, and Warriors, all of which can use their 2 hours. Now, you know, they're just like normal trolls other than that 2 hour thing. So the walkthrough is basically kill all the troll soldiers. Now, some of them start out wounded, making them easier to kill. They can range anywhere in health from 25 to 75%. As we said, they all use their 2 hours. The only one you really have to worry too much about is 100 Fists. And some of the trolls are grouped together, so you may have to sleep some links if possible. Now, make sure you have your map pulled up when doing this, because there's some pretty good routes specified here, similar to when we did Preemptive Strike. So you're going to start out right at the very top at G6. And you're going to walk in a pretty, you know, it's a pretty one-way tunnel that you're going to walk out to into a big area here. And there are going to be 3 troll fugitives. So you're going to start by finishing them off, taking them out one by one. And then the way that I go is from that point, you are going to go to the west, down a one-way tunnel, to where you're going to find 3 more trolls. Now, they aren't always grouped up to where they're going to link, so you should be able to pull them one by one pretty easy. Take them out. Head straight east, and you're going to come to a passage to the south. You're going to want to ignore that and keep going east, as there's 1 troll fugitive hiding out down there. So dispatch him back to the west, and from here you're going to go south. Now when you hit a wall, take note, because this is where your rune of release is, alright? So that's where your rune of release is. From here, you're going to go to the west again. Now when you get to this corner, when it starts to turn, you're going to find a troll fugitive, put it to him, take him out real easy, and keep going around down to the bottom, to where eventually you're going to come to a path where you can go south, or you can continue going east. We're going to turn south right here. And this is, you know, if you look at your map when you get in here, this is basically a long branch to the southwest. As you're coming down, you're going to run into a pair. So you're going to take those 2 out. Then keep going to the end where there's 1 more troll. So take him down. From here, you're going to go back up to where that fork in the road was. Continue east. It's going to turn you north, and you're going to come to another big cavernous room with 3 more in them. Now, if you take this guy out, you're going to have 1 more. So usually from here, you can send a mage or a thief even to the Rune of Release. But you're going to keep going directly north from here to where the last troll is. So when he's done, you have your mage back by the Rune of Release pop it, or have a thief pop flee and run back and grab it. And that's about it. You know, it's not a real hard one. You know, some people have even completed it with parties of 3 and 4 with somewhere around 5 minutes left. So definitely with a full party, it's pretty easy. It's not that hard. There are a total of 15 spawns if you weren't keeping count and were wondering. Do you have anything to say on that, Velix?
I take a slightly different route.
Oop, hold on. You're spiking in and out.
Because then when I go at Velix. The crossroad, if you take it east, yeah, I'm lagging.
Yeah, give it a sec.
Yeah.
Once you tell your route, you can go right into the to telling them the assault points and then the Womora axe and storm turbine.
Okay.
All right. So whenever you're ready, go ahead.
All right. The only thing that I would do differently is I take a slightly different route. Basically, everywhere that Kalo would take a west, I took an east. Pretty simple was that once I got down to the fork in the road where the Ruin of Release spawns, if you head east, you take the 3 that are there, and then the 1 that's up in the very long tunnel, which every time I've checked is a red mage, so you pull him, he 2 hours like right away, and then you can just pull him back, make sure you're out of cast range, and he takes forever to get back. And then you can go down, take the 2 and the 1 that are in the very side room, and kind of loop your way around back to the Rune of Release. I just do it that way because it feels nicer and it's more of a smooth motion.
All the places that Kalo goes west, I go east. You're just trying to make things difficult. Undermining my authority. We probably could have covered this in the beginning, but Velix has an announcement to make. So, Velix, go ahead and why don't you tell everybody what's different from this episode than from last episode.
I've kind of pulled rank on Kalo he's still stuck on first lieutenant and I'm up on captain now.
Oh,
so
he's being funny. He's got jokes now. Yeah, he thinks that he outranks me or something like that. But here's what Velix fails to realize. If we are ever in an assault situation when we are, you know, mercenaries of Salaheim Sentinels, then yeah, maybe Velix can try to tell me what to do. But folks, when we are on the Rogue's Den, when we are on my turf, in my place, where I know all the exits, and I know the places to put the body where the people aren't going to find it quickest, I'm the one that's pulling rank. And Mr. Paladin, don't you forget that.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm already 0-3. I don't think I really care if I don't have any more Treasure Hunter from now on.
Oh, it's going to be a lot worse than no Treasure Hunter.
Uh-huh.
So, why don't we move on with the show and you can tell these nice folks what kind of assault points they get from finishing Libros Cabrin Superior Private.
Basically, if you finish it with your 3 members, you're going to get 1,000. And then from there, you're going to get 100 less. So, 4 members, 900. 5 members, 800. 6 members will be 700 points. There are a couple notable rewards. One would be from the triple question mark axe, which it comes the Womora axe on its own outside of assault. Not very much, just damage 88, delay 504. However, once you go in assaults, the damage on it jumps all the way up to 93, and you get a double attack plus 1% on it. So it's going to be really nice for your great axe warriors. The other notable reward would be from the triple question mark headpiece, which is the Storm Turbine. MP plus 18, magic defense bonus plus 2, and MP recovered while healing plus 1, level 50, all jobs. Nice piece if you don't have a better MP helm, or you're going for some magic defense, or if you just need to rest up some better MP and you don't have anything that's better than that, you can get this nice little turbine.
Yep, and that's Troll Fugitives. It's a pretty easy one, not too hard. The next one, though, that Velix is going to cover here for us is
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I'd say it's complex, but not necessarily hard. It could be pretty easy.
Yeah, it's more about, again, and making sure that you have all of the right steps put in place so that you can, for what will happen to you. Basically, your instance of the
Hold on, Velix. You know what? I think that it might be my end, because you always start cutting out when I like click a link to open like a new page.
Oh, maybe.
So maybe it might be me. Hold on. All right, go ahead. Start over.
Okay. From there, we are going to Saving Private Ryef, which is going to take place at your Devook Isle staging point. The squad that was sent in search of the Seagull Fratty hideout, they've failed to report. Find any survivors, especially one Private Ryef, a relative of the Gale Serpent General, which is... I can't remember which one that is.
You know which one I hope it is? No, you know which one I think it is?
Isn't it the chick with the Tamtu's lover?
Oh, Gale Serpent, right? Oh, are they?
Oh, it's the human female.
Are like each of them like different type of serpents?
Yeah. I believe Millie is the water serpent or spring serpent, one of the two.
Okay.
So on and so forth.
Actually, yeah, I think that Nanjilith is the Gale Serpent, but because they said you know, a relative of one of the, you know, like serpent generals. I figured it was Gatalar, because that dude's a total wuss.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to save his own friends.
Yeah. Raffle, LOL Gatalar. All right, continue on, though. I just had to point that out.
Yeah, you basically have to find three missing NPCs. You're going to start at I-7. There are a bunch of rooms all over the map, five of them. That there's four on the outsides, and then there's one right in the middle. Oh, it's been a while since I've done this one.
All right. Well, the first thing you're going to want to know is that there actually is a pattern to the way that the NPCs spawn. All right. So what you're going to want to do is, let's say you have anywhere between, obviously, three and six people. You technically only have to check one room to know where everybody is. All right. So, let me look up this really quick. Okay. So if you visit the north and west or east and center rooms first, you are guaranteed to encounter no more than one fake prisoner. Now, if you visit the wiki, there is a great little graph that's set up here. So obviously, you know, this is another one where you're going to want to look it over first, because it will make it a lot easier if you research it to know exactly what you're doing. Don't just go, you know, off of what we're saying. So Velix, why don't you continue with that then?
Yes, once you've figured out your pattern as to where they're all at, all three of them, you can simply go to those areas and find them. When you go into when you're running around, there are these true sight formers that are walking around. You can easily avoid them because they're simply sight aggro. Just try to avoid them. If you have to fight them, just finish them off. When you go into a room, there's going to be a hunched figure. If you haven't figured out your pattern yet, there's a chance that it could be a former or the NPC. There's also going to be Chigos, cursed Chigos to be exact, in your room. So you're going to need some way of dealing with those. For people who don't know, Chigos are easily defeated by AoE job abilities such as weapon skills, critical hits, and certain damaging job abilities like shield bash or weapon bash.
Yep. Your best bet is if you can use daggers, used Cyclone, because Cyclone is AoE and it's a magic attack, so it cannot miss.
Yeah, if you don't have daggers, there's Monk has spinning attack, so there's another one you could use in the event that you don't have Thief to bring along, or a Hella Samurai with the appropriate dagger skill. From there, once you've taken care of all three of your little cursed Chigos in the room, you're just going to have to find out whether or not it's an NPC or a former.
Hey, Velix, just a note on the little graphy bar thing. Sometimes you're pushing up into the red, so. I don't know how to, like, work the soundboard, so I'm not going to touch it, but just.
I think it was, like, when I the call dropped, I think it put my thing way back up, my voice volume. So
yep, that could have been it. Down.
Okay. Where were we? I'm talking about foamers. I totally lost my train of thought.
Why don't you go from when you figure out what your pattern is? You were talking about a samurai with the appropriate dagger weapon skill.
Yeah, and then we went.
Good choice.
guess, to get rid of the Chigos. Once they're all taken care of, once your cursed Chigos are all taken care of, you basically have to figure out, I believe it's just you go up and talk to it. It's been quite a long time since I've done this assault. You just talk to the figure or go near the figure, and it'll either turn into a foamer or one of the NPCs that you need to rescue. If it's one of the NPCs, I can't remember if there's anything specific you have to do with the NPC. Do you remember, Carl? Or is he just saved
Felix,
now?
Felix. You know, being a superior officer, being a captain, I would think that, you know, you would know your stuff before coming in here. You know, that you would be prepared. But,
well, see,
apparently
being
not. You don't need to raise your voice, Felix. You don't need to raise your voice. All right, we can be adults about this, but yes.
If one of us can.
After you check the NPC, if it's an NPC, that's it. You just have to talk to them. Once all three NPCs have been found, the rune of release appears at I-7. So this may sound like quite a bit, but really what it comes down to is finding out where the three NPCs are, dispatching all of the Chigos in that room, then talking to the NPC. So it can be really easy. I believe the first time that I beat it, the first time we did this, we all died, and then the second time, everybody died but me, and I ended up soloing it. Cyclone for the win.
Yeah, it's definitely just, if you're prepared, it's one of those, just like most of the assaults, if you're prepared going in, there's a good chance you'll win. There's not much, well, except for escorting Professor Chexmix, there's not much random chance involved in a lot of these assaults, and it's all about prior preparation.
Mm-hmm.
After you've found all three of them, you just got your Ruin of Release will spawn at I-7. Go there, click it out, you'll win the assault, you get your assault points. If you have three members, you're going to get 1,100 assault points, four members, 990, five members, 880, six members, 770.
And are there any pieces of armor of note from this assault?
There are a couple pieces of, there's one weapon actually from the triple question mark pole arm. It would be the Yigit staff, damage 56, delay 360, doesn't matter because it's a mage weapon, but when in assault, you get MP plus 2% on your staff. So if you need a max MP build or something along those lines, then it's a nice staff to have.
All right, nice. Moving on then is our last one in Illyrusia Toll, and that is Extermination. Exterminate all monsters. The vermin feasting on the corpses left behind by the Lamia have multiplied to unnatural numbers. Destroy this threat to the surrounding ecology. Just kill crap is basically what it comes down to. You have a couple types of mobs here. You have carrion crabs, carrion leech, carrion slime, and carrion toads. I hate toads. The living fleshes, those things are creepy.
I like them. They're easy XP.
Yeah, they're just creepy looking. Could you imagine like waking up next to one of those things? Ugh.
Have you ever seen a female Gelka?
We all know those don't exist.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I wish.
So this is a pretty straightforward thing. You know, as usual, to kill everything. Oops, just lost my train of thought. Okay. Now, the first thing to note is that at some point during this assault, when you're killing everything, is that some type of NM will pop. Now, it's going to be a type of NM based on one of the mobs. So, like, if it's the carrion crab, it'll be called undead crab, undead leech, undead slime, undead toad. Now, just to clarify, you'll be fighting 7 crabs, 3 leeches, 3 slimes, and only 2 toads, and they always pop in the same place. So, just as all the previous ones, if you check the wiki, there is a map that shows where everything is. So, here's how the best strategy to do this would go. You're going to start at the Rune of Release at H8, and you're going to head out of that spot west, and then go south. Now, from south, if you hug the southern wall, you're going to be taken out onto a little island where there are 3 crabs, right? Are those the crabs?
They're crabs.
Yeah. Where there's going to be 3 crabs. Now they're not too bad. I think they're like DCs or something like that. Even matches.
Yeah, they're pretty easy. They're not something like an IT plus or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I think the last time I did this, we had three melees and a red mage, and from right here, we had the red mage go directly down to the bottom of F10, where the slimes are. Now, these slimes do not link, so the red mage went down there. It could also be black mage, too, and would basically solo these three slimes while the melee finished up those crabs, continued going west, and then started going up north. And from here, you would encounter more crabs, a couple leeches, three crabs, two leeches, by the time you got back around to where you started at, your starting point, which is also where the Rune of Release is. Now, from here, you're going to go directly north, and there are going to be two more leeches for you to dispatch. Keep going to the east, and there's going to be your first... Is it a toad? No. Nope, there's going to be... All right, so then you're going to go east, and there's going to be another crab. From there, head south. You're going to have two more mobs, both of which are crabs. No.
Leeches.
You're going to go south again, both of which are leeches. I apologize. I mean, if Annie can edit this, no big deal, but... If not, I apologize. I'm kind of colorblind right now, and these colors aren't very good. They should use shapes. Anyway. So you
light green.
Yeah. You go south, and you kill off the two crabs, and then you're going to curl back up to the north, and you're going to have three leeches in a row. So take out those leeches. You will have another crab, and then right over here in the little bottom part, the most northern south part. How do you like that? Most northern south part.
Yeah.
But basically on the line of K6 and K7 is where the two toads are. Now, somewhere around this point, and, you know, they're not really sure, people aren't really sure how they spawn, but at this point, one of your NMs should have spawned. Hopefully it's not the undead slime, because otherwise your mage friend is in for a world of hurt. But anything else, and you're going to be just fine, you know. And especially... you know, if you have two or three melees doing all of this while the mage is down there, you know, doing their thing on the slime, Dancer sub is extremely helpful, as well as Ninja subs, obviously, because chances are if you're doing it with as few people as possible, you might not have a dedicated healer going along with you. So if the mage friend needs help, head on back down to the slimes. Now, when we did this, it was actually so close. Obviously, I beat it before, but we just tried doing it recently. And our red mage friend ended up dying with 1% to go on a slime by the time we had finished with everything. So we had ran all the way back and killed all three slimes with like 30 seconds to go. So we ended up losing, but your Rune of Release is right back to where you start. So also keep in mind that despite the name of the NMs, Undead Leech, Crab, and Slime, and Toad. No, I'm sorry. Despite the names Undead Leech, Crab, and Slime, they are not undead monsters. Now, the Carrion and Undead Toes are undead, but the other ones are not. So, look up the map, find out where things are, kill everything as quick as you can. Anything to add to that, Velix?
Nope. Basic party setup. Like, you could probably do it if you added a few more DDs to a setup that was designed for, say, Preemptive Strike. Balanced party works for this, or just a bunch of melees and a red mage or a mage that can possibly solo the three slimes when they run around killing everything else.
Yep. The assault points you're going to get are 1,100 for three members, 990 for four, 880 for five, and 770 for six members. Velix, what kind of special prizes do we have dropping from here?
We have one of the probably most useful ones that I've seen, aside from... stats from the triple question mark boots, which is the Storm Krakow. It's basic beat when you're not in assault. When you're in assault, though, you have a permanent movement speed plus 12%. So this isn't your sprinter shoes that'll wear off when you get aggro. These suckers will always be moving you plus 12%.
Yep, definitely wouldn't mind me a pair of those for assaults.
Other than that, there's just a triple question mark pole arm that turns into the volunteer scythe. Damage 97, delay 528. However, when you go into assaults, it turns into damage 99, attack plus 6, which is, I think only the relic has a higher base attack on a scythe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like 103 on the relic, and this is 99, so.
Well, very cool. All right. Now, normally, this is where we would conclude our show. However, I bet some of you are asking, well, Kahlo and Kahlo's sidekick, Velix, what do I do with all these assault points that I'm gaining? What are they good for? Well, today is the first day that you're going to find out some of the stuff that you can use those assault points to buy. And we're going to go over those right now. And pause so that we can open this up, because otherwise you'll start lagging while things are
doing stuff.
Yeah.
Open link in new tab. Open link in new tab.
Exactly.
Are we going to stop at the weapons? So we're just going to do up to like...
We're just going to do the stuff that people actually use.
Aside from the main Palawan shit and stuff.
Exactly, yep. So basically it'll be like the earring, the ring, the chain, belts if they're used, and capes if they're used. I don't know, do people use the capes from these? I don't.
Pardon?
I said, do people use the capes from these? Are they any good? Because I don't use them. LOL capes.
I don't know, some of them might be good. I know that I looked at the samurai cape. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
Oh, you know what they need? Is they need that stuff, that thing that WoW does, like on WoW sites where you just hover over it and it pops up the stats.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? I have a better idea.
Well, what's that?
Go to fh.com, and then if you go into their assaults category, it has all of the stuff right there, and when you go over it, it does have the little pop-up thing.
Oh, sweet.
And it has the...
I don't think Annie has that bookmarked. God, he has a lot of fucking bookmarks. Clean out your... Holy shit. Clean out your bookmarks, Annie. Harry Potter... Harry Potter house? What? Really? Do you, like seriously, how much... You have to favorite YouTube? You can't just, like, type it in YouTube? Come on. Looking through his debts or his Facebook. Yeah, seriously, man. You need to, like, I can't find anything in here. Like, really? How? Oh, God. Look at all of these. MySpace? Clean those out, man. Seriously. I have to, like, actually type it in. Is it just ffxiah.com?
Yeah.
He's going to be going through this editing and be like, fuck you, man. I hate you. Wait. Oh, shit. We post this in the raw, don't we? Did we? Have we posted the Rogue's Den in the raw too?
Yeah, we have. So they're probably going to hear all this.
Oh,
cool.
Sweet. Good for you guys. Right, there you go. Starbreakers.
Congratulations
for the win. All right. Well, while we're waiting for this to roll, or while we're waiting for this to load for me, I'm going to go ahead and roll the D20 some more. Here we go. 15. That's a hit. Oh, 5. That was yours, Velix, so you missed me. Oops, that fell
off
the table. No, it's back and forth. So 10. So that probably hit you because you're a paladin, so you can't really evade. Might not have did much damage, but I hit you. There's a 4. You missed me again. You're not very good at this.
A paladin. I have no dexterity.
No, 3. You missed me again. 5. You missed me again. 20. I totally just... Oh, my God. That's a horrible crit. I owned you, dude. I owned you.
Uh-huh.
All right, so let's see. Assaults right there. That's a click. Good, I can start closing these then. Close, close, close. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Yeah, this is perfect. All right.
Exactly what we needed.
Yeah, so... all right, see how they're color-coded? Like white, then gray, then white, then gray, then white.
Oh, you mean
the boxes?
Spelters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'll start us with Liao Jim, then you can take Mamul and Nilru. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, we'll go down.
All right. So I don't know where we were. So I'm just gonna recut that again. Pardon. All right. So I'm just gonna pick it up. All right. So the first place we're gonna look at is Liao Jim Sanctum. Kala, what can I use my assault points for? Well, there are a couple things. There are actually quite a few things, but we're not going to go over all of them today. Today, we are going to go over accessories, and we're going to start with the Stoic Earring, which comes from Liaojim Sanctum for 3,000 assault points. And what this gives you is HP plus 20, enhances resist stun effect, and you also get HP recovered while healing plus 1. You have one of those, Velix?
No, it's mainly for, I would imagine, paladins at level 50, but they were introduced after. I was past that point, so I had different earrings by that.
Plus, you're a Galka, so you have plenty of HP. Hey, you know what? Funny story. How much MP do you have with no gear on? Is it like 129 or something?
No, but it's still not enough to cast Rays. It's 147.
Oh, wow. I have... My thief...
They need to fix that.
My thief right now has half of that.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible. I mean, I would love for them to increase my overall MP, but at least give me that extra 3 so I can cast Rays without anything on.
It's only 3 away, too.
It's like they were like, meh, we won't give it to them.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. You can also get a ring called the Unfettered Ring. This goes for 5,000. Magic defense bonus plus 2 and enhances resist petrify also gives 5 defense. I would think that's a good ring for, you know, when you take a lot of magic damage. Isn't it Jailer of Justice?
I know J-O-L. J-O-L, constantly, at least. Okay. The idea is you stand, yeah.
Tempered Chain, which is a neck piece for 8,000. You get HP plus 20 and defense plus 80. Here's probably one of the first really, really good ones that you're going to see around a lot, and that's the Potent Belt with 5 defense, 8 accuracy, and 3 strength. Also keep in mind, too, if you don't need any of this gear, it can all be sold on the auction house. And quite a few people, you know, need this type of stuff and might be too lazy to do assaults. So even though it's been around for a while and technically anybody can get it and, you know, assault points are constantly coming in, they still stay at a relatively good price. So if you don't do assaults for gear and you think, you know, well, I don't need salvage either, so I'm not going to do assaults, it's not a bad source of income as well. The last accessory from Liaojim Sanctum is the Miraculous Cape, which gives MP plus 15, Mind and Charisma plus 3, and Enmity negative 1, and like the belt, that is also 10k. Now, there are also weapons that you can get from here, which we're not going to go over because I don't think, at least for, you know, that from what I've heard, that, you know, they're not really that good. People usually don't spend points on them. I mean, I could be wrong. How often do you see these being bought, Velix?
I've never seen somebody use one ever.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, they're normal weapons, and then the biggest part to them is that they have, depending on day, increases elemental weapon skill damage. So you won't hear us discussing those on here, but we will go over eventually the 3 sets that you can get as far as armor goes. But today it's just the accessories. So Velix, Mammaljaw Training Grounds, what can we get?
Yep, we're back to the Mammaljaw Training Grounds yet again. All of the accessories are going to have the same tiers for their points. So your earring is 3K, your ring is 5, your neck piece is 8, and then your 2, your back and your belt are 10K each. So that's going to remain constant for all of the accessories that we're talking about. From Mammaljaw Training Grounds, your earring is another one that I often see paladins wearing, the Anti-Venom Earring. MP plus 15 enhances resist poison effect and MP recovered while healing plus 1. The MP is really nice and it kind of offsets your Stoic Earring a bit so you're remaining balanced. From there, we're moving on to the Ebullient Ring, which is HP plus 15, MP plus 15, and enhances resist paralyze effect. A lot of these are going to be enhancing your seemingly useless resistance effects. Next up, we have our neck piece, the Enlightened Chain. Simple enough, Int plus 3, Mind plus 2. Waist piece, the Spectral Belt, Defense 5, MP plus 10, Enmity minus 4. Nice if you are taking a bit too much hate on maybe your Black Mage or something. And then your cape, your back piece, is the Bullseye Cape. And then your back piece, your cape, is the Bullseye Cape. Agility plus 1, and then ranged attack plus 12. So nice for your ranger, your corsair, hell, even your thief.
Yep, next is Illyrusia Toll, your velocity earring. Evasion plus 4, it's a great alternative if you can't, you know, afford the bigger, more expensive evasion type earrings. You got your Garrulous, pronounce that for me, Felix.
Garrulous earring?
Yeah. All right. You got your Garrulous ring, strength and agility plus 3, enhances resist silence effect. This is definitely a favorite among melees. Grandiose chain, HP and MP plus 10, HP recovered while healing plus 2, MP recovered while healing plus 2. Hurling belt, ranged accuracy plus 4, and LOL throwing skill plus 5. And the invigorating cape, MP plus 1%, evasion plus 3, MP recovered while healing plus 1.
From there, we're going to be moving on to LeBro's Caverns, and we have a seeming combination between the previous Stoic earring and Anti-Venom earring in the Insomnia earring, which is HP plus 15, MP plus 15, and enhances your resist sleep effect. Another very popular earring for Paladin, since we already have a few resist sleep traits, and it just adds everything we need. Your ring would be the Hail ring, which is Int plus 3, Mind plus 3, and enhances your resist virus effect. And then you hit another big one on League with the Potent Belt. This one's the Chivalrous Chain, often referred to as the Shiv Chain. You're going to see this one around a lot. Most melee jobs use this, even at 75, which it has Defense 4, Strength plus 3, Accuracy plus 5, and then Store TP plus 1. Your belt is going to be the Precise Belt. Simple Accuracy plus 5, Ranged Accuracy plus 5. Good for your Ranger if you maybe happen to not want to shoot all the time. You can melee for some TP and then move back. And then your back piece is the Intensifying Cape, Defense 5, HP and MP plus 30.
And moving on to the last one, we have Periquia, where you get some pretty good gear. You get Vision Earring, a great piece for Ranger. We get some ranged accuracy, as well as enhances resist blind effect. Moving down the list, Unyielding Ring, another popular one for melees. Dexterity plus 3, Vit plus 3, enhances your resist charm effect. Fortified Chain, Evasion Skill, Shield Skill, Parrying Skill, all plus 3. Your Resolute Belt, Magic Defense Bonus plus 2, and Spell Interruption Rate down 8%. And we are rounding out the accessory rewards with the Bushido Cape, Evasion plus 1, Store TP plus 1, Subtle Blow plus 1, and enhances Zanshin effect. And that wraps it up for the accessories and also for the show. So did you have anything else to add did you have anything else to add for Superior Private today, Felix?
Nope, it's just a pretty basic, another rank to go through. You're kind of introduced to a bit more difficulty and a bit more random chance in your assaults, which is going to come in handy later on, but it's just good practice for your later ranks.
That's right. So, as always, I am Kahlo and my lovely assistant Velux.
I'm Velux, and I'm pulling rank.
Yep, sure you are. And that's it for today, folks. So tune in next time when we're going to have a little contest that involves some dire rats that I happened to order, which just came in today, and Velux without any of his equipment on.
I think I stand a good chance.
We'll see. That's right. I get the last word. Cut. Ha 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 ha. All right. 12:30. You were lagging a little bit, so that'll be our excuse for not doing the second episode tonight.
Or should me?
Yep. Because I think Annie wanted to like cut some weird thing. Ah, crap. That's on the recording now. That we're just gonna use that as an excuse. No, but that's a good excuse. Felix lagging out all the time. And it's 12:30, yeah. Annie, so you have a lot of favorites and bookmarks, so go through those. That's what you have to do.
Yep.
All right,
congratulations.
Man. Well, that's all we need you for tonight. So,
yeah.
Yep, see you later.
So, yeah, we should get that scheduled for sometime, like maybe next week.
Yeah, definitely. Earlier in the day, too, so Miss Tila can join us.
Ah, yes. Is she going to be able to come for the next one?
Depending on when we do it. it was funny because I was talking to her online and, you know, told her that it was canceled because we're going to do it Wednesday and yeah. She couldn't make it. And then I talked to her the next day and I'm like, oh, it's canceled. She's like, oh, that's cute that you canceled it for me.
glad I could assist with my crappy internet connection.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later, man.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Tried to like open like a new tab, you know, like load a new thing is when I noticed it was happening. So
okay.
I don't know.